Praise the Lord. I pray that that is your heart this morning, that you are here to worship Him. Let me just say this. It's a privilege to pastor a church where I feel that the people's heart is to worship God. I don't say that so you can pat yourself on the back. I say that because we are a no-frills kind of place. It's just about Him, Him being worshipped, Him being lifted up, Him being glorified. And I pray that that continues to be our heart. Pray that you pray for me that that continues to be my heart and the leadership of this church, their heart as well. If you have your Bibles, I want to look this morning at Joshua chapter 6. I can't shake it, can't get out of there. We're still here, which is cool. And I'll stay here until God says go elsewhere. I want to talk about the insanity of Jericho today, because every time I read this, I don't care if it was the first time that I heard this story as a child, until today as a grown man when I read this story, this is insane. When I was over there, we went close to Jericho. We couldn't actually go in because it was hostile over there during the time, and the Palestinians controlled it, and all other such things, nonsense, that one day will be straightened out by Jesus. And the thing is, we couldn't actually go see it, but we could see pictures of it while we talked about it from a hill far, far away, and we could look down. And it's insane. I'm going to use that word a lot today, because there is a world who, when they see how big our God is and how we trust Him, when we trust Him in a big way, they say, those people are insane. We're crazy. In fact, Scripture says that we're going to be a peculiar people. We're going to be different. Weird even. And as we look at this insanity this morning, I want you to see in a little while that there's going to be some application to this insanity. And I like that, because isn't it cool to be crazy, but just to be crazy for Jesus? And we get to be insane for Him. And in being insane for Him, we get to see Him make disciples through our insanity. Because you know what? It really doesn't make good sense. Watch how insane just the gospel is. Somebody tells me a story about a guy that I never met in a land that most of the time none of us have ever been to, who died on a cross that I, in my own human mind, didn't have anything to do with. And a man will tell a person the story, and immediately God does something supernatural in the man who's hearing the story, and He opens his eyes to the fact of his need for a Savior, the fact that he's a sinner, that he's dirty, that he's wicked. Without this sacrifice, that he's never even been to the country where the person was sacrificed, nor has he ever met this person. And instantaneously, he meets this person, and his or her life changes forever. That's insane. It doesn't make sense, does it? You know why? Because the world's trying to fix their problems all the time by themselves. We have one who's already taken care of all our problems. We just go along with the victory that he's given us, and the world looks at us and thinks we're crazy. And they just continue to do the same thing over and over, expecting different results, and all it does is going to end in judgment and hell. So as we look at this, I want you to see, I'm not going to be the guy who says that there's any rhyme or reason to this other than that God does insane things to get people's attention. Not only to get people's attention, to get people's loyalty. I hope today God does something insane in one of your hearts. I hope today that He shows you that you are broken and you need to be fixed by His blood this very day. I pray that He shows you that you need Him more than you need the oxygen that you breathe into your lung. That's insane. Because up until this point, you came here and you had everything all together and life was cool and you were just doing your thing. Today, I pray God unleashes insanity in your heart to show you that you need Him and you didn't even realize how much you needed Him till today. And I pray this, that when He shows you that, you are obedient to the insane thing that you are hearing in your heart, in your head, that says, leave this old life because it's worthless, and cling to this Jesus who's speaking to your heart by His Spirit right now. Let's look at Jericho. That's what we're here to do. We'll talk about the other in a moment. Joshua chapter 6. Let's read it together. We're going to read the whole chapter. Is that okay? We read a whole chapter in church. Y'all laugh. I've had preachers say, don't read too much Scripture because you'll lose them. Don't read too much Scripture because, man, they won't pay attention. Y'all please pay attention so we can prove those guys wrong. Verse 6 says this. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up. We know this, that last time we met together and we taught on this subject, Joshua met with the Lord incarnate and He gave him some focus, showed him what he was about to do. So here he is. Now, Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. Now, let me ask you this. It just told us that they're all shut up in Jericho. He hadn't delivered anything yet, but he spoke as if he had, huh? I'm thankful that one day I will be saved, and He speaks as if I already am. Amen? One day, I will be saved for all eternity. I will never struggle with sin again. I will be as righteous as Jesus Christ in the presence of my Father forever because of what He's done. God's telling him, look, I've already done this. I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its kings and its fighting men. Now, here's where it gets insane. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns. Those are shofars if you don't know that. If you don't know what that is, look it up online. He says, have them carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Insane. Insane. A walled city, tightly shut up, and here we're going to march around some people blowing horns and shouting. And God says the walls are just going to fall in. Now, those of us who are logical, we would say this, right? Because you would engage your human brain, which is very, very small in comparison to the knowledge and wisdom of God. You'd engage your human brain at this point, and you would say, there's no way. But what's interesting about this, God has shown Himself mighty up until this point by parting the Jordan for them to cross, and He's shown them His hand and His strength in taking care of them while they were in the wilderness. And they realize at this point, we need to do what God says. As insane as it sounds, we're going to talk about that personally in just a second, because God's going to lead you to do insane things sometime. And I encourage you just to get like me and love the insanity. Love it when God says do something nobody's ever done, because it'll work, because I say it'll work. Just do it. Some shoe company ought to take that slogan and run with it. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. Verse 8 says, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets blew before the Lord, went forward blowing their trumpets. And the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. God's timing is everything. Remember that. Everybody understand that? I tell you this, I'll tell you again so that you understand it. God's will out of God's timing is not God's will. If they had just walked out there the first day and just shouted, nothing would have happened. It wouldn't have been according to His will. It would not have worked. He said, verse 11, so he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once, and the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. So they did it once a day for 6 days, came back to the camp, nobody shouted. You follow me still? Don't get lost in all the 7s and all the trumpets. They were just being obedient to this insanity. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. So this time, we're going to take a little journey 7 times around in the same manner, except that on the day they circled the city 7 times, the 7th time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Watch this. This is cool. Only Rahab the prostitute. That's for all you self-righteous people. He didn't say only Rahab the woman who used to be a prostitute who cleaned her life up. He said only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared because she hid the spies we sent. You guys, if you've studied the story, know at one time they sent some spies in and they were overwhelmingly voted down. Isn't that interesting? Even though God had already told them it's theirs, they decided the best thing to do was to be scared. That's where we usually find ourselves. And in doing that, she hid some of the spies. And there was an oath that was made that God would protect her. God is going to be obedient in doing what He said He was going to do. And Joshua agreed to that oath. And so, therefore, God's mercy is going to be shown through this prostitute and her whole house. That goes to show you His mercy is for everybody. Right? But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Underline that, because we're going to get back to that in a couple of messages. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into His treasury. This is insane, because shouldn't they get the spoils of war? They're doing all the fighting. They didn't do any fighting. Watch this. They didn't deserve any spoils of war. They did nothing. When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed so every man charged straight in. Now, understand this. It says it collapsed so that every man charged straight in. You got to understand, what were they walking around? These seven times. On the seventh day, they walked around seven times, and on the seventh time, they shouted like they were told to do, and it said the walls fell so that they could go straight in. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? The walls did not fall out, because if the walls would have fallen out, it would have fallen on the Israelites. The walls fell in, which is not a very common response when walls fall. So these walls collapsed in on themselves so that they could go straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city of the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out, and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside of the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute. He's mentioned this three times. This is a big deal. Pay attention to it. So, but Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath: "Cursed before the Lord is the man who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son will he lay its foundation. At the cost of his youngest will he set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Insane. And saying, I want to recap this for you so that you don't miss it, okay? He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the ark and take some of your fighting men, the guard in the front and the guard in the back. And what I want you to do is take the ark, and I want you to take the priest, and I want you to walk around this city the first day. And I want you to blow your trumpets while you're walking around the city. Then what I want you to do is on the second day, do the same thing. And on the third day, do the same thing. On the fourth day, do the same thing all the way up until the seventh day. And on the seventh day, I want you to do it a little different. This time, I want you to walk around seven times because that's God's perfect number. If you study any numerology, you'll find that. I won't bore you with all those details today. But here we are, seven times, perfection. And all of a sudden, according to God's perfect will, then He said, now shout. And when they shouted, God gave them the victory that He already said that they had. Insane. And He gave them the victory by the walls of the city collapsing in on themselves and the people going in and taking what was rightfully theirs because God had already said it was theirs. So we see this. We see insane instructions. Pay attention to this. God gave them insane instructions. He said, here's what I want you to do. What I want you to do is not what you are naturally going to do. Naturally, what will we do if we were going to go into a battle against Jericho? We would approach them. We would come up with some plan of attack. We would strategize. How can we breach the walls of the gates of this city so that we can get in and we can become victorious over the inhabitants? That's what we as men would do. We would strategize. We would plan. Let me tell you, that's what a church planner would do in starting a church. They would read all the books about church planning and they'd say, here's how a professional does it. But that's not very insane, is it? No, it's insane is when you say, okay, God, here I am. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Tell me to do it step by step. I'm listening. But He gave them some insane instructions. He said, here's what I want you to do. Do this for 6 days. On the seventh day, you're going to do it a little differently. And on the seventh day, I'm going to give you what I said I was going to give you. I'm going to give you victory over Jericho. Now, let me tell you what. In following insane instructions, there got to be some insane leadership, doesn't there? I have learned this. It's okay, I'm good with it. I have learned that I'm not going to be the preacher every young preacher aspires to be like. Because I'm kind of crazy. And I'm good with that. I woke up one morning and, you know, it came to me.
I said, man, everybody in my family I know is crazy. Or on their way there. Hi, Dad. I said, check this out. I'm probably crazy too. But isn't it good to surrender your craziness to God and say, okay, God, just use my craziness. Just use the fact that I really don't care how you get things done. I just want to see you get things done. And I'll be that guy who's crazy. You know why Joshua is the leader of the Israelites right now? He was insane. He just did whatever God told him to do. How many of you remember Moses? You remember Moses? Listen, I don't want to compare Joshua and Moses, but I'm going to for the sake of this argument. Moses was always questioning God. Do you remember that? You remember reading that? Moses was always wondering, well, why do you want to do it that way? I think I got a better way. Moses was always questioning the direction. And that was for a purpose. That was for a reason so that the crazy one who was coming up, Joshua, would learn, just don't question God. Just do what he tells you to do. And so here we see this insane leader. Now listen, when I say insane, I'm not talking about clinically crazy. I'm talking about really trusting God with everything to say, you know what? God can. He's big. He's huge. And that's all that really matters. I heard a seminary professor say this once. I wasn't there. I just heard him talking to someone else. Because I'm crazy like that. But I heard him say this. He said when he listens to it, and he taught homiletics. No big word, right? That's where they teach preachers to do sermons. Y'all didn't know they had a class like that, right? How about you let God give you a message and just say what he's telling you to say, and you don't have to really worry if it's homiletically correct. So what they do, they teach preachers how to be preachers. Kind of funny, since God calls you to preach and the Holy Spirit lives in you and says he's going to teach you all things. I don't know, contradictory to me, but I'm insane. They teach you homiletics, which is cool if that's the route he wants to go. And there are these young preachers, and what they did, they would come to class and they'd have to prepare a sermon, and they'd have to prepare the sermon homiletically correct. Then they have to preach it to their class full of other preachers, which I've found in my short time on this earth is pretty moronic to get a room full of preachers together and just preach to each other. Because don't you think at that time we really know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to preach to those who need Jesus and not just preach to each other. Now, I'm all for an encouraging sermon. But I don't ever want to get in a preach-off with a bunch of arrogant preachers, because that's no fun, because they're all better preachers than me. I love to do that. So y'all all better preachers than me. They're like, you're right. I'm going to go eat some of this free food. Y'all keep preaching at each other. That was at my last preacher's conference. I don't go to those anymore. But the fact of the matter is, they asked this professor, they said, when you watch this person, and I like what he says, that's why I'm sharing the story. He said, when you watch this person preach for the very first time, what are you looking for? So I'm looking for one thing. So what is it? You want to know that he's in context with the Scripture, that his content is clear, that his communication is polished. You know, they thought it was good preacher answer. They said, what are you looking for? This guy was a renowned professor of theology, homiletics, and he was teaching preachers how to be preachers. They said, what are you looking for? Man, he nailed it on the head. You know what he said? I'm looking to see if they are a big God or not. He said, pardon? They wanted some theological answer. He said, I'm looking to see if they realize how big God is and if they trust in a big, big God. All I want to know is, are they a big God? Because if they're a big Godder, God can take care of everything else. Let me tell you, Joshua was a big Godder. He knew his God could do everything. He knew that his God could do anything. So we see in verses 6 through 7, insane leadership. Joshua didn't question God. He just said, okay, well, you say we're supposed to march around the city, we'll march around the city. Let me tell you this, Joshua was a warrior. You know what Joshua would have preferred? Let's go take this place. Let's go in here and push this wall down and slaughter them. Because I know how a warrior really feels. He would just kick in the door and take the place. That's not what he did. He was obedient. What he did was insane. You know there were some Israelites scratching their head, thinking, well, could we please have Moses back? He had a little more sense than this young fella. Insane leadership. And then we see next in this passage, we see insane devotion, which led to insane obedience. Here's the cool thing about it. Not only did they receive insane instructions from an insane leader, there was some insane devotion and obedience from the Israelites here. I told you, this is the good part. We're going to see some mess-ups and some hiccups here in just a little while as we look in this book of Joshua. But here we see insane devotion. They said, okay,
We did exactly what Joshua told us to do when we crossed the Jordan. It worked. God flexed. He showed how amazing and awesome He is. We praise Him for it. He's been awesome to us all this time. Let's do what Joshua says do. And let's just be obedient and not question how insane this is. Because it would have been easy to question, wouldn't it? To me, this is more insane than these guys crossing the Jordan River. Because they had already crossed the Red Sea. They had already heard about this. They knew about God doing this. But this is God saying, march around the walls with some musicians and the ark. Blow some horns. And then on the seventh day, do it seven times and shout. Everything's going to come to a head right there. That's my God. You ever just get excited when you think about this story and think, that's my God. That's the God I serve. He's insane. When the world says no, God says yes. When the world says can't, God says can. When the world says it'll never happen, God says watch. But it takes us being obedient to that. Not worrying about what everybody else will think. You know, the Israelites could have taken that stance right there. Well, what are all these people going to do? They're going to think we're weird. I promise you, those people inside of those walls looked down and thought they were weird. You know there was some poking fun going on from the people inside of Jericho. What are they doing? Oh, they brought out their musicians to fight us. Right, you football players, right? You know, because you weren't in the band, so you were cool. That's what they were doing. All the jocks of Jericho were looking down on the band going, look, God brought the band nerds. What are they going to do to us? And you know they were laughing about it. You know it was a joke to them. They brought out a piece of furniture and some dudes blowing horns. They really didn't understand it in its totality, did they, until the walls started falling down. Isn't it awesome when the world thinks we're insane and then all of a sudden our God flexes and the world says, your God's huge. Your God's huge. Insane devotion. And then we see verse 22 through 23, and I said that he mentioned it three times. Insane mercy. Insane mercy. Why would God offer mercy to a prostitute? Let me tell you why. Because he said he would. That's insane. Because when we read that, doesn't we look at that and we go, surely there was somebody better than a prostitute in that city when God allowed the Israelites to slaughter all of them. Sure, there was somebody better to save. Believe me, I asked that question. Lord, surely there's someone better to get up in this pulpit and to preach your word. And surely there's someone better to lead this congregation. But it's only by His mercy that any of us are where we are. Amen? And His mercy is insane. You know why? Because it's totally contrary to our human nature. We wouldn't offer mercy to a prostitute in her house. We'd find somebody in there we could benefit off of, like the richest guy in Jericho. Let's offer him mercy. This prostitute, she doesn't have anything. She still lives at home with her family. But let's save all them as if they're valuable, and let's give them a place. Aren't you thankful today that God's mercy is insane in regard to you, that He sees you as valuable in spite of you and gives you a place? We see in this text, they made her a place forever. Forever. I'm thankful that because of God's insane mercy, I have a place. And then we see in the last few verses that He gave them an insane victory. An insane victory. Oh, you can study all the histories of war. There's never been anything more insane than this. God told them before they went in, it's yours. I've made sure of it. Now I want you to do something totally ridiculous. March around this place. As if you don't know how to fight at all. Let me tell you something. They knew how to fight. Think they didn't have fighting men? You think they couldn't slaughter these people if God wanted them to do it that way? No, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show them not who you are. I'm going to show them who I am through you. Understand that. That's the big difference. That's the error that we see so much in Christianity today. Everybody wants to be someone instead of being nothing so that God can be something through that someone. Insane victory. Just as He said, He turned the city of Jericho on end and gave all of the occupants and all of their livestock and all of their gold and all of their silver and all of their resources to the Israelites, who then in turn, because they knew where it had come from, gave it right back to God
just as he told them to do, with one exception that we'll talk about in a few weeks. Great history lesson, right? So how does this apply to our life? Because that's why you all came today, right? To hear, how does this apply to my life, right? It's algebra class, and now's the time where you ask your teacher, what does this mean for me? Number one, we have to tune ourselves to hear God's insane instructions. We have to tune ourselves to hear God's insane instruction. God is not going to tell you what you want to hear most of the time. You folks who are spending all this time on your knees praying about something that God has already told you what to do about it, you didn't like the answer because it seemed crazy, He's not going to give you another answer. He's not going to change His mind. He's not going to change His will or the direction of the path that He wants you to go on. If He said, do something crazy, just do something crazy. I promise you, you look around you in this room today, this is the result of finally saying, okay, Lord, it's insane. Why would I leave a church to go pastor and start another church? That's silly to me. Because I was already pastoring a church, and I thought that's where I was supposed to be. But guess what? I don't get to make those decisions for my life, do I? Can I help you? You're no different than me. Oh, you just like to think that you're different than me. Because I hear people say, oh, man, I just don't know about that, man. You just have to pick up everything when God says go and do what He says do. Yeah, so should all believers. Shouldn't that be all of our hearts, Lord, no matter how insane this is? I want to do this because I know that in insanity, You receive glory. When the world thinks I'm crazy, they see You. You know how many times I got asked that question, why are you doing this? Because God told me to. You know what the world says? That's not a good answer. You know what the church says to that? Man, I wish I could be that obedient in answering God like that. That's the truth. Man, shouldn't we all be that obedient? Shouldn't we all be like Joshua and just say, okay, God, it's crazy, but I'm going to do what You tell me to do. If God says stand on your head because that'll bring Him glory, would you be willing to stand on your head to bring Him glory? We go back and we think of a story about David. He danced naked before the Lord, before of all Jerusalem, as he entered back into the city, praising God. You know what he said? And I'll even become more undignified than this. He said, this ain't even crazy yet. But yet we love to live in our little safe Christian environment. We're all afraid to take any kind of risk. Let me tell you something. When God leads you to do something as insane as it may be or sound, there is never a risk when you're following Him and what He tells you to do. It's a guarantee. You know what a risk is? A risk is living in this world thinking you got it all figured out, knowing full well you don't have anything figured out. That's a risk. But to trust God and to say, I'll trust You with everything, that's not a risk at all. Hear God's insane instructions. Listen to Him. I double dog dare you. I even triple dog dare you. Pray this. Lord, I don't care how crazy it sounds, how crazy it looks. You show me what You want me to do in my life that'll bring You glory and give me the power to be obedient, because that's how I want to live. You do that, I promise you, your life is about to change in a good way. You're going to look back and you're going to say, man, had I never trusted God insanely, He would have never done insane things through me. Hear God's insane instructions. Follow God's insane leadership. What does that mean? That means this. There's a guy who's before you as I am today, didn't ask for this job. It is what it is. This is the position that God has given me, and I am in a position of leadership over your soul. I'm a watchman for you. I don't look at that as if I'm somebody. I don't look at that to downgrade you, because that's not what it is, because we're all serving God together. But I promise you this, follow insane leadership, because God is a God who establishes insane leadership. Follow that leadership. Not just me, those people that you know who lead you in the faith, who aren't afraid to trust God, who aren't afraid to call it like it is, who aren't afraid to tell you the truth from the Word of God, who aren't afraid to step out by faith and lead as an example in how we're to follow God. Because let me tell you this, I'm not afraid to lead in that sort of way. And you know what? Some people love me for it. Other people, you know, mostly it's the religious people.
Man, he's crazy. He's going to lead them all astray. But watch this. This is open discussion time. Have I ever led any of you to any other place other than the cross of Jesus Christ? Boy, ain't that insane. I didn't leave you to give to some organization because they need your money, and I didn't pressure you to give to a building campaign, and I didn't pressure you to follow Jesus. All I did was point to the fact that He is the answer to every question that we have. He is the answer to forgiveness of sin. He is the answer to eternal life. He is the answer to walking with God in this life and the hereafter. That's all I've ever done. Crazy? I'll go with you. Outdated even. Old-fashioned. As we think back on all those old preachers, they were all kind of crazy, weren't they? You remember those old crazy preachers? Them jokers would get up here, boy, they'd preach in your face. Huh? That's crazy. But he got his message across, didn't he? I remember one night a preacher was preaching. He pointed his finger. I was at the back of the room. I'm telling you, his finger went from the front to the back. It was supernatural. Right here. Longest finger on the preacher I've ever seen. He pointed right at me. God broke me down right there with a message that was insane. I didn't even come there thinking I needed to hear anything. I thought I had it all planned out. Nobody will be insane for Jesus. We have to be in order, brother. Yeah, there was order here so the insanity could break out. God said, follow my instructions. Do it just like I told you to do. There's the order part. Now when I'm through doing that, sit back and watch. Supernatural power at work. Hear God's insane instruction. Follow God's insane leadership. Be devoted and obedient to God's insane instruction. We hear from God, we hear insane things, but here's where the rubber meets the road. Y'all hear me talk about this. It's very important as we look at the Israelites. Obedience, obedience, obedience. It's very important as we look at your life. Obedience, obedience, obedience. You know, it's even more so important with us because we have the Holy Spirit living in us to guide us and empower us to be obedient. So when you hear the Spirit lead you to do something that contradicts your flesh, it's okay. Just trust God. How many times have you heard the Holy Spirit tell you to do something crazy and you didn't do it? You spent the whole rest of the evening remorseful because you didn't do it. It was crazy. You were it. I know what you were. I was worried about what they'd think. I was walking down the road and I saw a man and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to share the gospel with him. And Pastor, I didn't do it. Why? You were worried about you. You weren't worried about him. Beep, beep, beep. As the church mouse sings. You were worried about yourself. You were worried about, well, it would be embarrassing. What if they don't accept my message? It's not your message. That's how insane it is. We're telling somebody else's stories because our stories are no good. They're all full of sin. We're telling the story, in fact, the greatest story that's ever been told of how Jesus Christ, in spite of me, was willing to die on a cross to rescue me from my sin and myself and give me forgiveness and eternal life. That's the kind of story we're here to tell. Why would you not tell that? But you go home. I've been there, right? I've been that religious person because the thing to do for a religious person is just to go home and feel sad about it. It's not sad, it's conviction. You knew you blew it. You knew God wanted you to deliver that insane message to that person, and you were worried about offending them. Listen, folks, listen to me. I don't care. It is not politically correct to share the gospel. We are not called to be politically correct. We are called to be insane followers of Jesus Christ. That when the world says, don't do this, we say, but God said to do this, therefore we're going to do this. We're going to proclaim Jesus Christ as the answer to every single problem that sin brought into this world because His death, His burial, and His resurrection say He is the answer. Follow God. Be obedient insanely to what He tells you to do. If half of this church, half of it, we split you down the middle right here and we just took this half. No, I talked to y'all a lot. Let's take this half. And if this half right here today before we leave this place, before we dismiss, you get on your face before God and you say, God, I want to be an insane follower of Christ. Show me what I need to do. Teach me to live and not in fear of what everyone else thinks, but teach me to live like Joshua lived. And when you tell me to do all these insane things, just let me trust you for victory. You're going to see victories in your life. You're going to see victories in people's lives around you who see how you trust God. That's being a witness of what God can do. That is living out the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, the other half, you're just going to continue to be lukewarm Christians. This is hypothetical. You're just going to continue to go through the motions. There are going to be people all around you who spend an eternity in hell because you had the message of life and the message of love that Jesus Christ died for them to have, and you withhold it from them because you will not get insane for Him. You're worried about offending them rather than allowing Jesus to use you to rescue them. You say, man, that breaks it down in a real way. Now look, erase it. There's no half. Nobody's mad at anybody. You're the good half again. I'll get emails.
Pastor, I just don't understand why I had to be the bad half.
You chose where to sit. How's it my fault? Just don't be in the bad half for real. But if just half of us would make up our mind to be insane in the area of obedience for Jesus Christ, what would happen? What would happen? Be devoted to that. Live a life of insane mercy towards others. I love the fact that he included in this because it seems like it's just thrown in there. I love the fact that he includes in here 3 times 4 that they spared Rahab the prostitute. I love it. Because that is insane mercy. Let's stop what we're doing. We're about to go have a victory. You know, all these people were slaughtered. Would one more family really have been noticed? The fact of the matter is she had a special place. She had received mercy and had received an oath and a promise. Tell you something, folks, we need to be people of insane mercy. Number one, understand mercy personally, that you didn't deserve this. God gave it to you. And in doing that, that'll keep you from becoming self-righteous, and then go out and find Rahab the prostitute and offer her mercy. Whoever your Rahab is, it may be a family member who the whole family's looked down on for years. One day, everybody's going to stand before that person's casket. You're going to have to answer in your heart, did I share the gospel with this person? Did I show them the love of Christ? Were they important enough? Maybe they were different, but were they important enough for me to show mercy and love toward them as God's Word commands me to do? Live a life of insane mercy toward God. You know how you become insane in mercy? You forgive as you've been forgiven. How many of you have received insane mercy? Anybody here deserve it? Throw up your hands if you deserve mercy here today. Not a person in here. Because the fact of the matter is this. When the walls of this world cave in, you, a bunch of Rahab the harlots, that's a fancy word for prostitute, that's King James Version. All the 16 delivered said, by gosh, he's been delivered. Not yet. But the fact of the matter is this. All of you, myself included, we're all those harlots that one day when Jesus comes to set the record straight, He's going to show us insane mercy. You know why? I promise you, there'll be people on Judgment Day who look at Kirk Hall and go, how'd he squeak by? You know they looked at Rahab like that. You're going to save that prostitute? She's a whore. Haven't we all whored away from God? Haven't we all turned to our sin and turned to ourselves and in need of rescue and redemption and mercy? That's why we're to be a people of insane mercy. We're to show every person, I don't care if they're in the gutters of this world or if they're in the mansions of this world, we're here to show them that there is mercy. And mercy is found in one place, and it's insane. I know. I know it is insane because it happened 2,000 years ago over in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem on a hill, where Jesus Christ was obedient to death and death on a cross for all of those who are in need of mercy. That's insane. Oh, it's real to those of us who know Him, isn't it? And I promise you, take that message. People ask all the time. It's funny, and it's preachers who ask. We all do it now in that church. Man, it's cool, dude. I got them drinking the red Kool-Aid every week. They're at the point where they don't even ask me what's in it anymore.
No, I tell them this. It's the craziest thing. And y'all who know me know I do have the gift of sarcasm. It is a spiritual gift. Paul had it, I promise. Read his stuff. What are y'all doing down there at that church, man? Sounds like a bunch of people getting saved. What are y'all doing? What's your model? I go like this. It's funny. Y'all feel free to do this in the community, too. Use sarcasm. People say, man, why y'all going down to that church? It's crazy, man. We preach Jesus Christ. The fact that man is condemned to die and be judged for their sin when they're born into this earth. And that there's only been one cure ever in the history of mankind for that sin, and it was Jesus Christ who came to this earth as a man. He was born of a virgin. He died on a cross. On the third day, He rose again, and He rose again so that we could have new life just as He's received new life. Then He ascended into heaven, and before He did, He said, I'm coming back just like this, and I'm going to take all those who follow Me like you guys back with Me, because I'm going to prepare a place for them, and we teach it just like that. And there's no trickery to it at all. But boy, isn't it insane? And I say, and then people accept Jesus, and their life is changed forever. And boy, I'm smart, huh? No, and they say, no, come on, man. What kind? You got to be using some kind of church growth model. I say, okay, confession time. I got him. That's what they think. I open up the book of Acts and I do this. I try to teach the people to devote themselves to prayer and to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to fellowship. And I watch the Lord add to their number daily those who are being saved. There's my church growth model. Use it. It's the book of Acts. It's free. It's insane, isn't it? Now, let me ask you this. What would happen? What would happen if we all trusted God and sang it? I'm talking about your victory, your habit that you got going on right now that you call a habit because you dare not call it a sin because you're a Christian. It's my shortcoming. Let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of it, it's a sin. Everybody understand that? Go like this. Sin. Everybody's nervous now. Does he know? How does he know? Does he tap my phone line, right? How did he know? You told him, right? The elbow, their husband, or what? You told him. I know because I are one of you guys. The fact of the matter is this, I get it. I get that you're prone to struggle with sin. God gets it. That's why He sent His Son to this earth to give you victory over that. Maybe your problem is this. I'm going to throw out some examples. Maybe you feel convicted about your drinking. Now, preacher, that's meddling. Now, we live in a society where social drinking is accepted. I don't live in that society. I live in a society that says social drinking is going to hurt your testimony to a lot of people, and you're going to be a stumbling block to those people who've been delivered from alcohol abuse. You just sit back and watch. Ouch. Well, I'm done listening to you. That's fine. Let's just talk about that for a second. You've been convicted that you need to get rid of this thing in your life. Quit trying to justify it. Right? Well, I don't do it in front of certain people. Come on, man. You don't even need the Holy Spirit for that when your grandma taught you that. Remember your grandma said, if you got to hide it, you don't need to be doing it. What's sad is in the past, churches couldn't get honest about the fact that we have struggles and we have problems. If we don't get honest about the fact that we have struggles and we have problems, we don't ever see victory. We don't ever see insane victory in our life. People being set free from things that they won't admit that they have ever because they were ashamed to admit it because they lived around a bunch of self-righteousness being set free because now they can freely admit, listen, I've got a problem. I can't fix it on my own, but Jesus can. I'll help you out. All the drinkers, you can relax. How about you gossips? Facebook is included. You live to get in other people's business. You live to tell everybody about everybody else's business. Did you know gossips and whoremongers, same list of people who are going to hell? Hello? I'm not making this stuff up. This is Scripture. You say, I know I really want to stop, but man, I just can't. I find myself, I'm convicted, I'm talking about somebody else, and the Spirit of God is telling me, stop.
I can't do it. You need an insane victory. You can have that insane victory today, but you know what you have to do? You have to insanely trust God with it. Right? Whatever your habit, your addiction, whatever your stronghold is that you have at this point in your life, insanely trust God with it. What I loved when I was in student ministry is students didn't mind getting insane. We'd have altar calls at camps and things like that. The kids who smuggled cigarettes into camp, throw their cigarettes at the altar. The kids who smuggled marijuana in the camp, at a church camp? Yeah, you were at that camp. You know what I'm talking about. They would insanely throw that at the altar. I've seen kids get convicted about the music that they listen to. I've seen them bring CDs to the altar. Those of you who don't know what CDs are anymore, those are those silver things that all us old people listen to sometimes. They'd bring CDs to the altar and I'd watch them crush them. Not because anybody said, hey, bring your CDs to the altar and crush them, but because the Holy Spirit said, I want you to do something insane. I've also had parents call me up and say, little Johnny broke all his CDs. I paid good money for them. So I didn't tell little Johnny to break his CDs. You're going to have to take that up with someone a whole lot bigger than me who must have told little Johnny to break his CDs. I didn't even say anything about music. What did you talk about? I talked about glorifying God in everything that we do, every word and every deed. And I guess he heard music when I said that. Sorry. But if you want me to go buy him some more illicit rap CDs that degrade women and talk nothing about sex and drugs, I'll go purchase them for you and reimburse you. No, well, that was what he was listening to? Yes, ma'am, that's what he was listening to. Well, I'm glad the Lord set him free. Little Johnny got insane. Little Johnny starts playing in the Christian praise band, and the music that he loves is now changed into music that he loves that brings glory to God. Y'all see how that works? Well, we saw an insane victory at Jericho. Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to see an insane victory in your life today? If you're going to see an insane victory, listen to me. This is it and I'm done. Hear the insane instructions. If you're a believer here today and he's convicting you of sin, listen to him. He has every right to tell you what it is that does not need to be in your life any longer. Don't ask what other people think about it. That's so silly. What do you feel about this? It doesn't matter what I feel about it. The Holy Spirit lives in you to bear witness to what you ought to have and what you ought to not have. What you ought to do and what you ought to not do. And we're all to live according to the conviction that he places on us as individuals. I promise you, there's some things in my life that I feel is sin that the Scriptures do not say is sin. Drinking, one of them. I promise you. For me, listen to me, don't get all offended. For me, it is a sin. Why? Because the Holy Spirit told me to completely abstain from it. He said, well, are you saying that it's a sin for me to have a cold beer? I did not say that. I said, for me to do that, it's a sin. Now I'm going to scare you. For you to continue to walk in Christ is to grow to the point that I really do believe you'll get there. But I'm not going to argue with you about it right here. I'm not going to argue with you about it at all. What I'm going to do is say this. If and when you are convicted of it as a believer, be insanely obedient and watch insane victory come. Because it may be God protecting you from alcoholism. You never know. Here's insane instructions. Follow that leadership today. Follow the message that you've heard from His Word today. Be obedient to that. Be devoted to that obedience, insanely. Offer that mercy because realize always you need it. Therefore, you are required to offer it. And trust God with that insane victory today. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? I pray this morning that we allow God to just be insane in our midst. That you would just with reckless abandon say, God, I trust you like I've never trusted you before today. Maybe you're here today. You say this. You say, Kirk, I know I'm a sinner.
And I know this. I know right now that God is leading me to do something insane. Yeah, I've walked the church aisle before. I've been baptized. But He's showing me in my heart right now that I never truly received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let me tell you this. Do not hold on to a false profession of Jesus Christ. If the Spirit wasn't working and you prayed a little prayer because some preacher told you to or because your grandma told you to, that won't cut it as far as God is concerned. But you say today, Kirk, God is calling me to new life. He's showing me that I need to surrender my life to Jesus Christ, to cry out to Him to save me from all my sin, to forgive me, to give me eternal life. I want to repent of my sin, and I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today, for real, for the very first time. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. You say, that's me. Raise it up high where I can see you. I want to insanely trust God with my whole life, my whole soul, my complete me. I want to trust Him right now. Anyone like that? You're here and that's you. Would you slip it up high? Thank you, man. Would you hold it up for me? Keep it up in the air for me. Thank you. Anyone else who says that's me, because I firmly believe there are others here today. Thank you. Keep it up for me. I want to insanely trust God today like never before. Thank you, sir. Keep your hand up. Anyone else? Everyone else praying, you too with your hands in the air, I want you to look at me. If you can't see me, move to where you can. You believe God's telling you that today in your heart to trust Him. Trust Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, as the only forgiveness that you could ever have. You trust in Him today. Are you willing to surrender your life and repent of your sin and turn to Him and make that public and not be ashamed? Are you willing to do that today? Ma'am, do you say, I'm willing to do that today? Turn my life of sin over to the only one who died to save me. Listen, this prayer won't save you. The Bible says this. It says that a man confesses with his mouth, believes in his heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and he shall be saved. Say today, I want to be saved. I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me. This is a prayer, and all you're doing is you're confessing to God that you're a sinner and you're in need of Him. You're receiving what He died for you to have. Dear Jesus, say it with me. I know I'm a sinner. And I know that if I died right now, I would spend an eternity completely separated from You. Jesus, I don't want that. Jesus, I need Your forgiveness. I know that You died so that I can be forgiven. Please, Lord, forgive me now. I trust in You, You alone. I turn my back on this world. I turn my back on sin. And I turn to You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me, Lord. Thank You for the new life that You've given me here today. I love You. Those of you who prayed that prayer with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to get out of your seat right now. There's going to be some people who meet you right here, right down front. You meant business with Jesus today. You're not going to worry about it. If it's going to embarrass you, get insane today and say, you know what? He offered His all for me. I don't mind stepping out and letting everyone else know that I received Him as my Savior today. Right now, those of you who raised your hand, you said, I asked Jesus to save me today. Slip out. I'm going to meet you right here down front. I'm going to get you with some people who will share with you what just took place. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Maybe you prayed that prayer. I didn't see your hand. I don't have to see your hand. The good thing is God sees your heart. Praise the Lord. Did you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you guys talk to one of these folks. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's insane. The human mind says, man, are those people really going to be changed because they turned from their life of sin and turned to this guy, Jesus, from another country who died on a cross? Let me tell you, absolutely, positively, yes, yes, yes. Stop playing games. He is the only way to God. He is the only way to see your life change. You're here and you say, man, I wish I was one of them. I wish I would have been insane a moment ago. Listen, this isn't over. All you have to do is get out of your seat and come grab me or come grab one of these folks down here and say, I need Jesus to save me today. And I'll guarantee you, when He gives you the faith to believe today, He's also going to be faithful to save you. You're here today and you say, Kirk, I'm a believer. You couldn't talk me out of it if you tried, and I never would. But you'd have to say you're probably on this half. You'd have to say you're probably on this half. You're not trusting God with anything. You're back into the monotony of your flesh, bringing you down and tearing you up. Down to this altar, grown man, broken. That's insane. Grown men don't just get broken for no reason. I promise you, I got snot, tear, everything else inside of my shirt from that man. Why? Because he said, I'm tired of playing games. He just said it right here. I'm tired of playing games. I'm turning my life to Jesus Christ for real. Give the Lord praise. To their numbers daily, those who were being saved. Oh, I got a real important job, right? I preach about Jesus and throw rocks in a bucket. He does everything else. You're a Christian as I was saved. Sorry. Sorry for the interruption, right? That's the best kind of interruption you could ever have. Oh, maybe you're here and you say, man, I wish I could do the same thing. Nobody's stopping you. Nobody's stopping you. We're welcoming you. God has His arms open wide, yearning for you to run into those arms. Just as this young man did. Just as the young man, the young lady did earlier. But you're here and you say, Kirk, I'm a believer. I know. But I'm on this hand. You're going to see things change. Listen to me. I've lived it. I know how it works. If you're going to see things change, you are going to have to determine in your mind, you don't care what anybody else in the world thinks. You care what Jehovah God thinks, and you are going to trust Him insanely until He calls you home. And I promise you, when you learn to do that, and it can start today, when you learn to do that, your life is going to bring God glory. But until then, you're going to live on this side of the room wishing that you could. Because I promise you, a believer who's not bringing God insane glory is a miserable believer missing their whole purpose in being saved. If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. The altars are open. The Holy Spirit is obviously moving in our midst. Allow Him to move in your life. If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. The altars are open. Be obedient, insane to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do today.
Fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemies, underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear?